it every way. A dog will have his day, but when it comes to wailing, dogs ain't got a thing to say. So they can do the waiting, cause I ain't hesitating. The future's round the corner, so for now I'm gonna play. Now's the time to wail, not later, but right now's the time.
I read on alto sax and vocals, leading the band with Charlie Parker's Now's the Time. It's from her 1962 album, Bird Call, dedicated to the bird, Charlie Bird Parker, who greatly influenced her music. She was active in jazz as a performer from 1950 to 2010 on trombone. She was a composer, arranger, vocalist, and even an educator. And she was one of the early women in jazz. I shouldn't say was. She's still alive at 88, living in California. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. And we were hoping to hear, at some point we will, continue to make contact with our protest folks in Brooklyn protesting the presence of Hillary Clinton at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn, where she is scheduled to be introduced by Merle Evers Williams, the widow of Medgar Evers. And it was arranged, obviously, to blunt the protests. But in any event, Hillary Clinton hasn't bowed out. She's expected to be there today. So they're not hearing us, because of all the noise. They're not answering their phones there, although it was arranged for them to give us an update on what's happening at the Barclays Center, where the 45th commencement exercises are to be held today. So we'll try throughout the program and see whether they're hearing us amid all, hopefully, a very boisterous protest. But I want to talk about the other big news today, and that is it's Comey's turn at bat today. Right now, the Senate Intelligence Committee will begin the second half of their two-part marathon session today. This part being behind closed doors, not open to the public. It's a classified section of the session. The first one was for the general public, and I don't know if you did, but I certainly followed the entire session, and quite interesting things happened. I wonder whether you were able to catch some of it. Former FBI Director James Comey, of course, appears today before the Senate Intelligence Committee in this two-part marathon session, one, as I said, open to the public. The public coverage, the other, which will be starting momentarily, behind closed doors, to answer an array of questions. Publicly, Comey will testify about his challenges working with an out-of-control president who clearly he didn't trust and who obviously wasn't trusted by him, by Trump. He is supposed to be continuing this discussion in greater detail in the second part of the session today. It's a pretty long session. And the topic of Russia dominated this morning's session. And whether Russia in any way interfered with the 2016 presidential election in such a way as to assure Trump's victory, and whether associates and representatives of Trump are continuing to maintain contact, and whether they are benefiting in any way from their under-the-radar ties to Russia. Whatever the outcome, and there's supposed to be a vote later on, and I don't quite know what this vote is supposed to be. That's supposed to happen around 4 o'clock today. Whatever the outcome of Comey's testimony, both publicly and privately, some politicians are not waiting. They have already drawn their own conclusions. And the conclusions are leading them to move for the impeachment of Donald Trump. Representative Al Green of Texas announced yesterday that he has already begun to draw up articles of impeachment against the president. Fellow Democrat Brad Sherman from California also has joined with Al Green in that effort to push for drawing up articles of impeachment. They didn't even wait for this hearing. They just said, based on what we already know, we have enough to push for impeachment. However, I think it is a little premature in a way, because you have to have absolutely solid facts. I mean, it sounds like a good idea to say, well, you know, this president is so terrible, we need to get him out of office. But there, I mean, it would be a legal proceeding just the same. And it would require some hard, cold facts. From what I heard this morning, I didn't get hard, cold facts from this morning's hearing. It would seem that the hearing this morning, this is the public hearing. I don't know what they'll be hearing behind closed doors this afternoon. But there was a lot of talk, a lot of questions, but they didn't really yield a bombshell against Donald Trump. You know, they skirted around issues, but this is just me. I could be very wrong about this, but I did not hear a preponderance of hard, cold evidence and facts about Donald Trump from James Comey. Comey did say, you know, he did explain some things about leading up to his sudden firing by Trump. And he did talk about Trump's kind of erratic nature, but he did not deliver what I would suspect should be the kind of evidence that is irrefutable against Donald Trump. It was a nice visit with the Senate Intelligence Committee. But for all it's worth and all that brain power assembled there, they asked questions that, to me, were kind of, for the most part,
not that hard-hitting. And so the questions yielded answers that are not hard-hitting. As we predicted, there was really no emphasis at all on the role of Comey with respect to Hillary Clinton. He was not really on the carpet today, and he demonstrated that. He was very, very comfortable. He was not flustered. He was very calm. And it's not because, you know, he could handle hard questions. It was because he wasn't asked that many questions. Believe it or not, the hardest questions, the greatest discomfort he experienced was from John McCain, who asked him pointedly about the Hillary Clinton, the various Hillary Clinton debacles, but specifically, he said, you know, you're telling us a whole bunch of things about Donald Trump here. How come we haven't heard your determination of the involvement of Hillary Clinton in the same 2016 elections and what role she might have played in the elections that she lost? So we didn't hear an answer to that at all. It just kept going and going. And it was fascinating to the average listener. It was a fascinating thing to hear a behind-the-scenes account, however indirect it might have been, from somebody at such a high level within the FBI. But it was sanitized. It was a sanitized version. Comey was very careful not to be brutal to Donald Trump, although he, in his own way, tried to establish a course that led up to his firing on May 9th. But for all the hype of this interrogation session, I couldn't see that there was much that was produced that would absolutely implicate Donald Trump in obstruction of justice or any other charge that they could sustain in a court of law. I'm not a lawyer, of course, but I've covered a lot of trials, and I just didn't see the weight against Trump legally. I just didn't see it in this morning's session. There's a very interesting thing that happens when officials are brought before a committee to be interrogated with respect to a matter or matters of national importance, something like this. But we didn't hear chapter and verse, and this is what we were expecting, right? This is what one would logically expect. You're dealing with a president, and you're suggesting that the whole reason for this session, this Q&A, which is really supposed to be an interrogation of a key person in this whole event, you would expect absolute concrete evidence. We got a lot of vagueness, except as it pertains to him losing his job. We didn't get concrete answers as it pertains to his investigation or anybody else's investigation whether it was the CIA or the NSA or whatever agency. But here sitting before this committee is the former head of the FBI. This is a very, very important situation here. A very important person is making himself available to be questioned by all these wise people from Congress. And for the most part, the courts were quite gentle, and they seemed satisfied with vague answers. Nobody was pointed in their questions. So they gave answers, which is why he felt comfortable. He didn't seem the least bit perturbed, least bit flustered, because he knew the environment would be safe. So I don't know how this is going to translate into some kind of ruling against, or even the effort now to seek to draw up articles of impeachment against him. It would seem to me you have to have some rock solid facts and evidence, real hard evidence. Otherwise, everything is just fluff. By the way, Trump did not attend the session, of course. He was said to be observing what was going on in an intermittent way in the company of lawyers, his lawyers. And I think it would be safe to say that
based on what we saw today, I don't think his lawyers are going to be too worried about whether Trump would survive today's inquiry. I didn't see anything there that would
make me believe Trump is in deep, deep trouble
in terms of the legal problems that now confront him, having been outed in this session. I didn't see it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I simply did not see that. And that's unfortunate. But we see it a lot when Senate panels are convened and it sounds like they, okay, this is business now. We are going to hear some serious evidence. We are going to really get the scoop on what person A or person B did that was illegal. Not whether people didn't like what they did or whether Trump did things that people were upset about. That is not enough. And they ought to know that. There's a bunch of lawyers there. They ought to know what evidence is. But they didn't ask lawyerly questions for the most part. And certainly those who came close to asking a lawyerly question didn't ask the kind of question that would have yielded actionable material. They didn't. Plain and simple. So, in my view, we had an attempt that could have done something. It could have yielded previously unknown material. It could have put us closer to the inside of the operations of Trump and the many ways in which he skirted the law and all kinds of standing policies. But we didn't get that. Didn't happen, in my opinion. That did not happen this morning. Lots and lots of formality and whatnot. People are asking questions, but they didn't ask questions. And yesterday we predicted there ain't going to be any questions about Hillary, which is precisely where Jim Comey is weak.
weak. That's central to the situation with Trump that they were investigating. And that's the other thing. The concentration was very narrow in terms of the kinds of questions they were asking and what the committee was interested in hearing about from James Comey. Do you really believe, I mean, if James Comey comes before the committee, he wouldn't come before a committee that could hurt him. He wouldn't be that crazy. So it means that he had some inkling that whatever they threw at him would be, he could handle it. Because it's not going to be so serious to amount to legally actionable stuff. The scope of the information shared by Comey with the committee this morning was exactly where he wanted the committee to go. Like I said, a complete absence. I mean, McCain was the only one getting close to the questions about how is it that the committee and Comey were concentrating Trump, but not on others who really should be targeted, and because they're connected with the whole thing. He said, how come? Why aren't you asking questions about Hillary Clinton? Because they touched on, and I mean the word touched, they touched, just barely touched, on the email issue. And this is right up John McCain's alley. He has been furious about what he sees as the mishandling of that whole discussion. Hillary Clinton and Benghazi, Hillary Clinton and the email situation. All of that should have been covered today. They decided instead to fix their gaze on Trump. And like I said, I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not a great admirer of Trump. But you have to look at the situation as it is. They may make a statement about their dissatisfaction with his performance as president. And they may make a statement about their distaste for the way he has handled things so far as president. But they did not make a case to, and if it happens, there should be an investigation of that. There was no concrete evidence introduced today that point a finger at Donald Trump in a way in which he has something to worry about legally. He doesn't have anything to worry about. They never argued anything having to do with his liability as a president. And that is why he was sitting around letting his lawyers watch this nonsense, because you can sense that very early you get messages from these kinds of things, you know, as they organize these major events. You just read the environment and you know right off the bat it's not going to happen. Now, I would be so surprised if come 4 o'clock they announced that they, based on the testimony of James Comey, that Donald Trump is guilty of anything. I would be very surprised. The best I can say is that they learned how out of control this president is, how he does business in a chaotic way, how the White House is a chaotic place. In fact, you will recall I said early on, this is President Chaos. And the worst thing they could say here is performing according to that moniker. he's a chaotic guy running a chaotic administration. Focus should have been in how many ways has Donald Trump broken the law or run afoul of set policies that every president should abide. They didn't come close to that kind of questioning. Well, let us take a little break and we'll come back and discuss what conclusion you come to if you manage to listen to any of this. And even if not, what we know so far, what do you think was the intention of this committee hearing and about the conclusions that they might come to at 4 o'clock when they take a quote vote? We don't know what the vote is for, what the vote is about. We don't know whether it is a vote to legally with some action against Donald Trump,
whether the vote is to put together a set of recommendations that they would make to the Trump administration as to how it ought to behave in government. What this is about. About what we're doing this afternoon. So, as we build up the phone lines, we'll speak and your call right after that at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I must let you know I live in Florida, and it is the home of crazy thunderstorms and lots of interference, Wi-Fi systems, and even loss of power. This happens a lot. And all week this week, we have been subject to ridiculous amounts of rain and rainstorms. And it has really wreaked havoc with us. In my town,
we've even lost power several times. So I'm hoping that we can pull through for the rest of this program. But I'm not in charge of the rain. You know, I'm so happy we even have power today. But hopefully everything will work through. All right, 888-874-4888, your thoughts about today's hearing. And the hearing concerns Mr. Comey and his accounts and his reports about President Trump and specific issues that the Senate Intelligence Committee wanted to hear about, the Russia connection, the Russian alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election, and related issues. Chris, you're calling. You're on
the air. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Utrice. I just would like to
Hello.
Thank you for...
Hello there.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I agree with you that I watched as much as I possibly could. I missed a little bit for like 5 minutes in between, but I forced myself to sit through it in spite of my discomfort because I thought it was my responsibility. Anyway, I watched it, and I have to agree with you that there were no cold, hard facts. And I think at this point that if we can just forget, to use a pronoun, our feelings, whatever anyone feels about anybody running, the people involved, and to just look at it as an exercise, if one still believes that the law can be fair, as an exercise in, you know, legal procedure, I don't think that we should expect any cold hard facts, because I felt that way from the beginning. I feel that the at least half of the people questioning there have already arrived at a conclusion. And the fact that they've arrived at this conclusion, they are reading anything that is said there in the context that Donald Trump is guilty. And I'll give you a couple of examples, but I have a quick question for you. This is really not related. I'm just curious, before I make a couple of my comments, didn't the Democrats vehemently oppose Comey's appointment originally? And then when he was appointed by Trump, didn't they oppose him? I mean, the official Democrats, weren't they against his appointment?
No, I don't get that. I didn't get that they opposed his appointment, because
the Republicans didn't oppose it. They said, well, let's support Donald Trump's decision.
Right,
and
I may be wrong, because I thought
with Comey.
Because I thought I had seen this is neither here nor there, because it amazed me that I was under the impression that they really weren't for it, because I seem to recall, I may be mixing up my memory of it, but I seem to recall even Charles Schumer from New York here, that he had made some comment about the appointment of Comey because they didn't feel that his handling of the situation was correct. Anyway, I may be wrong about it, because it was just interesting to me how much they were also opposed against his dismissal, because if they did really oppose it, it's kind of a contradiction. But anyway, that's not really what I wanted to say. I have a couple of comments. I want to start with McCain for a moment. Now, I don't have any respect for Senator McCain anymore. I used to, in the early 2000s, when he was a little more objective. I mean, I think even as a Republican, he was a little different. And over the years and during the Bush administration and the wars in Iraq, et cetera, he became like an entity that served the state, so to speak. But I have to say, and it's very interesting, the responses, you and I, up until this point in time, are the only ones who reacted to this, because when he asked him specifically about Hillary Clinton, why he thought that any investigation of Hillary Clinton was sort of dismissed, and why Trump was not. But I also got from that, I thought it was interesting, because I can hear myself speaking. I don't know what that is. Oh, my God. The Hillary Clintons should have been required to testify at this, not because, forget about her own issues or what she was accused of or not accused of or suspected of. The mere fact that she had made these statements, and she originated them, regarding the Russian hacking, unadulteratedly, she made definitive statements, she should be required to testify, because this is what this whole investigation is about. And I thought the fact that McCain referred to her, although he didn't actually come out and say that clearly, I think she really should be. This, regardless of how you feel about it or whatever, I mean, she should be required to testify and should be questioned regarding this. She should be questioned because she's part of this. She was part of it. I mean, she made these open statements, and as a Secretary of State, I mean, this wasn't just anybody on the sidelines. It wasn't some little mayor. Okay, this was a Secretary of State. So she was important in this. She is important in this case. And it's interesting, you know, I watched just like 5 minutes when they took calls on C-SPAN, and four calls came in, and I have to tell you, all four calls, and then I turned it off, All four calls, they referred to McCain as having a stroke. They couldn't understand why he brought up Clinton's name, and that they really suspected that the man was actually having a stroke, that he didn't know what he was talking about. And it's so interesting to me, the reactions and the responses that are triggered in people's because of their perceptions. You know what I mean? It was really interesting because I think Hillary Clinton should be required to testify under the circumstances, especially since most of this is very vague and based on a lot of nuance. I mean, there is no hardcore evidence here. You know, I mean, all of it is based on the fact that Trump said that, you know, for example, Comey said that he was defamed. It was defaming the FBI because Trump said that the said to him that the organization was in disarray. Now, I don't blame Comey for being offended by that, but I wouldn't, if someone said, well, the organization is in disarray, I mean, do you consider that defamation? I mean, defamation is a stronger word to use. I mean, it's very subjective is what I'm trying to say, you know, and the use of the word, for example, regarding Flynn when they were questioning and they asked him, do you think that Trump tried to stop the investigation? And he said, well, not in the words that he used. He said, because he used the word, well, I hope that you will show, I forget the exact quote now, but he used the word hope to call me, that Comey would be loyal, right? So, I mean, these are things that are basically perceptions, and the person who was, I don't remember the man who was asking him, he said, but did you actually read that as an order, specifically he asked him, and he said, no, it was not an order by the use of those words. Now, the point that I want to make is that, you know, if you've ever served on a jury, and I'm sure you're aware of this, even if you haven't, you know, the point is that when you're talking about the law and the interpretation of the law, there needs to be something very specific. Because if there are emotional reactions, okay, then you're not really serving the law very well. It's not very fair. I mean, that's what juries are also instructed to do, you know. And it's interesting because I think so often the responses are, including the people who cover it, they come out with these comments that have nothing to do with the law. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I must say that Senator, what was it, Tom Cotton of Arkansas, I've never seen him before or heard him. I have to say that I observed his questioning, his line of questioning, and I found him to be very professional. I mean, if you haven't seen him or if you remember who I'm talking about, you have to watch him. I found him to be very professional. Right. He was, I just
but,
found,
you know, these
yeah, I
people,
was, I was,
these people, who are conducting the hearing today, they're
right.
Lawyers. You know, they are lawyers, which means they are interrogators, which means they know what they're there for, and they should ask questions because it's actually kind of like a trial. You're looking to get specific information from the person testifying because you have an idea in mind. In fact, you have a mandate in holding this hearing for the first place, which is to find out as many details as possible to gather this information, which may be used in further legal action. None of that happened today. And it was very frustrating listening to and witnessing this event, which seemed to be leading nowhere, and it seemed to be designed to lead nowhere. You know, I just didn't get that at all. But thanks so much. Really great that you made all these points. I thank you for getting us started with the calls today. Thank you.
Thanks, you, Trish.
So much, Chris. Thank you. Pat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
How are you today?
Okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. I just have two brief statements. One, I'd like to just update you on the protests at the Barclays Center for Hillary Clinton at Meges Erez. That's the first thing I want to do. We didn't have a large group, but we had a very good cross-section group, which was very good. We had various people from the Freedom Party, United African Movement, the Lou Stewart Organization, some of the Black Lives Matters. So we had a cross-section of various different grassroots organization, and that was warm and it was wonderful. With that respect, that's the first thing I wanted to say. Now, regarding this, the softball questions that was put out to Mr. Comey today.
We're talking about Comey now. Let me just ask you some question or two about the protest this morning. We were trying to reach Dode, but I don't think he's hearing his phone ring. So Hillary did complete her mission of making the commencement speech.
Yes, she did. What occurred was because of the constant protest in front of the school, crew and his crew got together to try to smooth over to the student body, that what we'll do is we'll invite the Evans family. So that's what they did. They invited the Evans family. So once they invited the Evans family, it was like they smoothed it over. And as long as the Evans family said it's okay, then, you know, we won't have no opposition regarding bringing her. So that's one of their strategies. Those are one of the things that they decide to do. But we were
we talked about that yesterday,
anyway.
That's what the whole aim and objective would be, to kind of sideline the protest. But that's okay.
Right.
Because
right.
people didn't show up anyway.
Yes, we did. We like I said, it was a cross-section of various different groups, and we all went out there. And, you know, we protested, and some people went on the inside as well. I'm waiting for some type of feedback from them on what occurred on the inside. But those are some of the things that transpired this morning. So I just want to brief you and your audience with that.
Thank you. So to your point about the hearing this morning and this afternoon.
Okay. Okay, well, I didn't see the whole thing, but I did get a chance to listen to some of the softball questions. No, not softball, softball, nerf ball questions that was posed to Mr. Comey. And when I was listening, two things stuck out. I think she's from California, Kamala Harris. She prefects saying that she herself was a prosecutor or something like that. Some type of
well, she was
lawyer.
A former prosecutor. She was a former
right.
prosecutor, and she
right.
was a former attorney general.
Right. So she started with that. But then when she began to ask her questions, I think about four series of questions, he alluded to he couldn't speak on that. He had to deal with that in a more private investigation. You know, he was hiding behind that. But I kept listening. And then when it got to the point about Hillary Clinton, then, little antennas went off. And he himself, that was to me one of the things when he talked about, and he said that he believed that Loretta Lynch should have excused herself because it was a conflict of interest. And they were asked by the Congress, and it was refused. So that, I found his statement in that regard to, I would say, well, isn't that interesting? At least he spoke on that. He spoke on the conflict of interest, and Loretta Lynch should have recused herself. But all of those other things, nothing came out of that. And I'm listening to the local radio station, and they keep saying, oh, he's going to go down. But they have not revealed anything. They never indicated that Donald Trump literally got his hand caught in a cookie jar. They gave no evidence of this. None whatsoever.
Well, suddenly, a lot of things that James Comey himself should have been very clear about. I mean, geez, he's only out of office for a month. You know, he's been fired just a little bit more than a month ago. And he couldn't recall specifics of things, or he answered the question with, I cannot answer this in the open. We will have to take it up in closed session.
Right.
And that was my trouble with Kamala Harris's questions. Now, she's a pretty experienced lawyer. She was an attorney and a attorney general. And you're asking questions that are not getting to the point.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
So, you know, you would think that if Donald Trump is like the center of this whole event today, with Comey testifying in order to bring the committee closer to Trump's illegalities. You would think that they would ask other kinds of questions that would be in line with that. But they gave him a free pass.
They sure did. They actually did.
They gave him a free pass. And yeah, so, because they have a free pass, Comey actually gives even greater ammunition to Donald Trump if any legal action should be brought against him, with Comey basically being a star witness. Comey was not a star witness today.
No, he was not. Not at all.
Trump has nothing to worry. From what I see, Trump has very little to worry about legally.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. I listened very carefully, and you were right. Everybody gave him a pass. Nobody hit him with any hardball questions. They all gave him enough room to wiggle out of it. And I was like, what a waste of my electricity. But, you know, I'm wasting my electricity.
You wasted your electricity, even? So you see how things go. And it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat, or in the case of Comey, he's an independent.
He's
an independent. He's registered as an independent. He used to be.
The only thing is, you know, when I listened to this other statement he said. He said, well, whether we're Republicans or Democrats, it's okay if we can disagree and we can have our own in-house fighting as long as we stand up for America, make sure that our elections. And I'm sitting here saying, really? With all the conniving stuff that y'all do around the world, influencing other people's elections. Wow. You know, hypocrisy at its best.
Hypocrisy, as if, you know, the United States has never done anything even close to this.
Right.
It's pristine. It's absolutely clean. There's nothing
clean hands,
to
right?
indict the U.S. about.
Yeah,
so what do you think, come 4 o'clock, what do you expect to hear when they have their meeting?
Same with the same. Nothing's coming out of this. Not from what was shown to us earlier. I mean, what do you expect to come out of this? You know,
exactly. Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed on the protest. I'm sure I'll hear from Daoud later on, but it's good to hear that it did happen, and Hillary Clinton should be under no illusions that she is not, that she's able to get away with anything, come into the community and use it as a public relations stunt. It did not work, and that's the main point. Thanks, Pat, for calling in.
Thank
you. 888-874-4888. Now, these things are very important to take note of, because it is a way of manipulating people into, you know, to drive them like a herd of cattle where they want us to go. Now, we were told that this was going to be a major hearing, and you can't help but understand that. You have a major figure who was just let go from the Trump administration, the head of the FBI. So you have a high profile person at the center of this hearing. The expectation was that he would give us some kind of insider view that has to do with the conduct of the president and how he's governing. The principal point of this hearing was supposed to be the Russians. We didn't learn very much about the Russians.
Comey did say that there was no doubt in his mind that they were in fact involved in the the 2016 election. He says there was no doubt in his mind. Okay. But he was expressing an opinion. He did not bring evidence to say, we know that they were because A, B, C, D, and E. Okay. The next thing that happened with this hearing is that you can see that there was some kind of an understanding of the parameters for the hearing, where the questioners were not going to be allowed to go. Then why have a hearing? The reason they had this hearing was to make it look to the public that they were doing their jobs of trying to get to the truth the way the Nixon hearing went, because they had an intention of taking legal action based on what was revealed, the evidence revealed. They did not discuss evidence today. And I'm not rooting for one thing or the other. I'm just saying it's really annoying when people's minds are played with. You had all of this fancy schmancy preparation and very thin on content. And I wasted a whole morning. I'm like that. I burned up some of my electricity watching this stuff. And the more I watched it, the angrier I got, because you say to yourself, well, geez, don't we get anything? We don't get anything at all? That is terrible. So I just wondered, what was the purpose of this whole thing except to distract and to make it look like they were doing something, to make it look like they were pursuing justice and pursuing a real investigation so as to further pursue legal action, if it should come to that, legal action against Trump? We didn't get that. Not today. So I don't know what they're voting on. They still haven't said what would be the end result of this grand event that was staged. What is supposed to be the end result? They'll issue a statement, and that would be the end of that. They could say at least there was an investigation. This is not an investigation. It's not an investigation. It's not even nearly an investigation, and we should be really, really clear about that. Well, it's a good study, and I get from today that many people didn't bother to watch it. It was found it to be a waste. You found it to be a waste of time. And sadly, it seemed like it was a waste of time. I am hoping that we weren't just used in some wider sense to create the illusion that people are really serious about this business of governance and about, you know, if you know you're not going to yield very much from your star witness who couldn't produce quantitative evidence and wouldn't produce quantitative evidence. That's the better way to describe it. He wouldn't produce quantitative evidence because he would just revert to the idea that he, you know, these are sensitive matters that can't be discussed. So then why not postpone it to a time when it could be discussed? Why are we wasting time here? Why is all of this preparation being made when there's nothing quantitative, really, that will be yielded out of this. I just don't understand that. Except we know that a lot of what is happening now is people struggling to get into our brains, to own our minds. And so, you know, here's yet another example of that. So we have to be very careful. I tell you, it's so frustrating because, you know, you just want something to work. Give it a good shot. Let's see, take your best shot and let's see where it leads. Because we know, or we strongly suspect, that there's a lot wrong that is happening. You have all these people on a committee. Almost all of them are lawyers. And this is what we get. I mean, look, just don't have any more of this happen. You know, it's people are fed up of it. Thanks for joining me today. And even with our little challenges, we muddle through. So that's great. You know, it's so weird that in this day and age, when there's a forceful rain or wind, things get, you know, all muddied up. But it happens in Florida a lot. It's very frustrating because, you know, you a heavy rain and you hear a loud boom and all the lights go out because the transformer is knocked out. We still like that in Florida in this day and age. I guess that makes the case for solar power. So thanks for joining me. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at Lead Stories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow. It's Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.